Our heading is getting to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ better and better. First class was on the why of our existence, which means why we're here. We have to know who we are, where we're heading, how to get there, and what steps to get to our final destination. And the response is this: we're here to know God, love God, serve God, by means of that to save our soul. Then we talked about the greatest mystery in our Catholic faith, which is the Trinity. Which means we believe in one God, but there are three persons. The Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Right, Eric?
Yeah.
Then we talked about the private life of our Lord, which can be summarized in the five joyful mysteries, which are the Annunciation, Visitation, Birth of our Lord, the Presentation, finding the temple. Then we talked about, you had your Mass, we talked about the public life of our Lord, which can be divided into 3 years and three activities. And they are the following. They would be, our Lord preached a lot. We can find that in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but especially in the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Then our Lord also, he carried out exorcisms. Exorcisms mean that he cast out devils. The devil really exists, and our Lord had frequent encounters with the devil. Sometimes he would cast out one devil, other times he'd cast out a legion. Legion would be the size of a Roman army, which means a huge multitude of demons in one person. Then we talked about third activity would be the miracles that he carried out. Miracles were of two basic forms. One would be miracles over nature. Which would be over nature? What's that? No, that's another type. It's over human bodies. Daniel? Yeah, the wedding feast of Cana turned water into wine. He walked on water, calmed the storm, the multiplication of the loaves and the fish. And then the most abundant miracles were miracles of healing. He gave sight to the blind, he gave hearing to the deaf, he gave speech to the mute. He actually cured lepers of that terrible, incurable, highly contagious disease called leprosy. He gave paralytics the ability to walk. And as you mentioned, three times he raised someone from the dead. Lazarus, his friend, a girl that was 12 years old, and a widow who lost her son. Last week, trying to get to know Christ better and wanting him to be our best friend, we gave you Christological titles. What does that mean? Christological titles, which would be different names we have for Jesus. And I could say in all truth that you are a son, you are an older brother, right? You are a cousin, you are a friend, you are a Christian, you're a Catholic, you're a teenager, you're a student, right? I give you about 10 different titles, but it's the same person. So we gave different titles for Christ. And one of the titles that we talked about would be the Good Shepherd. Another one? It's called a senior moment, memory loss, huh? Okay. Marianne? Best friend, good. Another one? You're looking.
Rockin' Foundation.
What?
Rockin' Foundation,
good. How about divine physician, right?
Jesus,
right. And
Emmanuel
means God is with us. What? Holy, good. Holy Communion, and related to that would be Bread of Life, right? Bread of Life, Holy Communion. So those are others. How's your Greek?
Terrible. Not good.
Alpha, Omega. Do you know what Alpha, Omega? Okay, that would be the first letter and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. The book of the Apocalypse called Jesus the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end. You know how I like to interpret that? The Alpha would be the day of your baptism. The Omega is when you die, hopefully receiving the three sacraments. Amen? Good idea, huh? You know, a key is, if you really want to die receiving the sacraments, make sure that you have a priest that's one of your friends. No? Yeah. Don't make me angry. Okay. You know, if you got a priest as a friend, that's good fire insurance, I think. What do you think? Pretty good fire insurance? No? Keep us out of that bad place, huh? So I know that you're in the hospital bed, one of us will go over and we'll give you the last sacrament. That'll help you to get to heaven. Amen? Amen. So that's where we're at. With the intention is that by now you're establishing a friendship with Christ and you want to talk to Him. You want to get to know Him. You want to spend some time with Him. You want to think about Jesus. You want to, you know, you've probably seen that acronym. Do you know what ASAP means? Do you know ASAP? What?
As soon as possible.
What?
As soon as possible.
I thought it was always say a prayer. Amen?
Amen.
What's better? So every time you hear that, in the class, they say ASAP. You can tell teacher, I like that. What you really mean is always say a prayer. Are they going to like that in class? Kind of like that, no? You want to try to give a certain Christian orientation to these words, right? Okay, this class, before passing, I'd like to tell you a story, with your permission. But 15 years ago, before most of you were born, maybe this was 20 years ago, I was teaching confirmation, and this was before we had the co-ed classes. We had one co-ed class, and this is the only one, okay? So I taught a group of boys. There were maybe about 25 of them, and it was getting very close to confirmation. So the bishop sometimes asked questions to the students. Now, if the bishop asked questions to the students, and the student doesn't know the answer, the bishop might say, by the way, who's your teacher? So I didn't want to get in the doghouse, you know. I mean, I didn't want to get in any problem with the bishop. So I was asking, the bishop's probably going to ask you guys, who is the Holy Spirit? So you have to tell the bishop, who is the Holy Spirit? And then he asks you, Father Broome's your teacher, okay? So I'll be able to take off my hat, okay? So I said, who is the Holy Spirit? Silence. Who is the Holy Spirit? Silence. Come on, who's the Holy Spirit? And one boy in the back of the class raised his hand and said, the bird. Okay.
Smart kid.
Or as they say in New York, the Boyd. The Boyd. Huh? The Boyd. The bird, no? Was he wrong or right?
Wrong.
That's a tricky question. Because in a certain sense, at least he's got the symbol, right? You know what a symbol is? It's a symbol. It's a spiritual reality that has a meaning behind it. Okay? Like if I were to shake your hand, that's symbolic of friendship, right? Raise the flag, right, on Monday, right? It was Veterans Day, right? The virtue of patriotism. You know what patriotism is? Patriotism. It's a healthy love for our country. If I were to tell you, go like this. It's symbolic, right? How about if I go like this? A big difference, right? So they're different. We speak through symbols. One of the symbols of the Holy Spirit is not the boid or the bird, but rather the dove. Because the dove descended upon Jesus Christ, remember? In his baptism. So that's going to be our topic today. We're going to try to get to know who is the Holy Spirit. Pass out the sheets and get to know who the Holy Spirit is. Here's a question. Do you ever pray? Who do you talk to? I thought you were going to say that, which is fine. How about you? Do you ever pray? Who do you talk to? Good. Which person? Okay, she talks to the Father, talks to Jesus. You look like you're imbued with great Marian devotion, right? You talk to the Blessed Mother, right? Which is fine. And I'm pretty sure that you really like to talk to your guardian angel, right? I thought so. You look like one of those people that love your guardian angel. Huh? But I doubt that any of you talk to the Holy Spirit. I really doubt it. And if some of you do, I'm impressed. So my hope is that after this class, you're going to start to get to love the Holy Spirit. Okay? Get to love the Holy Spirit. All right. One other comment, then we'll dive into our text. Okay, the apostles. Remember the apostles? We talked about the apostles. Did they know Jesus perfectly during Jesus' public life? Kind of, right? There were moments where the apostles were really on board. Other times they didn't really seem to understand Jesus at all. I'll give you an example. Jesus asked them, "Who am I?" And Peter pipes up and says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus applauds him. You know in the same passage what happens? He says, "I'm going to Jerusalem to be crucified." Wow! And Peter takes him aside and starts to rebuke Jesus and says, "Lord, far be it that you, that happened to you." Jesus called Peter Satan. He called him Satan. How would you like it after Mass? After the class, I called one of you Satan. Probably never come back again, huh? He said that to Peter. He's going to be the first pope. He said, because you're thinking like man, but you're not thinking like God. So Peter had a great moment of light. Then he was in darkness. He didn't want to understand the reality of the cross. So when was it the apostles really understood who Jesus was? I think it's a good question. Because during those 3 years, más o menos, as they say in Spanish, huh? Menos que más, huh?
When they were in the upper room and the Holy Spirit came upon them? The transfiguration?
Say it again? That's pretty good, but this is, you're hitting the nail on the head.
When they were in the upper room and after the crucifixion and the Holy Spirit came upon
okay.
them.
Yeah, when the Holy Spirit came down upon them, Pentecost, then they really understood who Jesus was. So much so that they're ready to die for Christ. They became martyrs to die for Christ. But it had to be the presence of the Holy Spirit that transformed them. Otherwise, they're walking in shadows, walking in darkness. One day they're on board, the other day they're falling into the water, half drowning, no? So the Holy Spirit, if you really want to get to know Jesus Christ, you have to love the Holy Spirit. And he'll pull blinders away from your eyes. He'll enlighten your path. He'll bring you to really know who Christ is. So this class is really related to Jesus because the Holy Spirit will help you to get to know and love Christ. Amen? Okay, let's move into the text then. Even the best of our friends in life sometimes fail us. Being perfectly honest, we at times fail them too. St. Thomas Aquinas says that a true friend wills the good of another. Great definition. The greatest good possible is to unite us with God in time and for all eternity. Jesus and friendship. Jesus calls the apostles his friends. at the Last Supper. Jesus calls it at the Last Supper. Before Jesus went to heaven in his ascension, he promised not to leave us alone as orphans, but to send us another. Who is this person that Jesus wanted to send us to help us and to strengthen us and to counsel and console us? This person is the topic of this class. This person is God Himself, and He is the Holy Spirit. That's our topic. Who then is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. He's God. He's God. In God, who is He? Holy Spirit is God. He's the first, second, third, or fourth person of the Trinity. Did you say the fourth? Okay. There's no fourth, right? So he's the third person. Who's the first person? Who's the second person? Okay, so Father is the first, Son is the second, Holy Spirit is the third. So when you make the sign of the cross in the name of the Father, touching your head, right? The Son, your heart, and crossing yourself, that's the Holy Spirit. Ever think about that? Okay, who's greater? Okay, of the three, who's greater? What do you think? What? You got it. They're going to fall in the trap. They're going to say the Father is the greatest. No, none of the three persons is considered the greatest. They are all equal, but distinct or different. But I ask the question because I think when you talk, you said you talked to Jesus. You said you talked to God the Father. But none of you, I think, said you talked to the Holy Spirit. But you should. You know, Belinda, before giving any talk, what do? I pray to who? Mary and who else? Now, before giving a talk, I always like to pray to Mary, and I like to pray the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit gives a lot of light. Do any of you still going to school? Or have you already graduated from high school? Okay. You still going to school? Let me give you a little tip so you can even, you're probably all doing pretty well, but you want to improve. You want to improve?
Yes.
If before you study, you pray the Holy Spirit, you're going to start to improve a little bit. So try it. If you're struggling with, I was a very good student, but in math, I'm not good at math. I'm just not good at math, okay? If I prayed to the Holy Spirit, who knows, maybe when I was your age, I would have been able to, you know, pick up the geometry, algebra, and then trigonometry, then your calculus. Maybe I would have been able to pick that up. But if you pray to the Holy Spirit, you're going to notice that the study is going to come easier. Okay? Yeah? Try it. You might even just say, I'll give you prayer afterward. If you don't know any prayer of the Holy Spirit, glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there you have it. It's only going to take 30 seconds. So you want to become better students. You know? Another key to becoming a good student is this. Are you listening? There was a boy who was about your age, and he couldn't really learn too much. So he was, you know what it means to play hooky? Maybe that's a expression from New York. Play hooky means you skip out of school. So he was trying to run away from his studies, and when he was walking out, he was climbing up a ladder. At the top of the ladder, he encountered the Blessed Mother. And the Blessed Mother said, "Where are you going?" He said, I can't stand the school stuff. I just can't learn." She said, "Well, why don't you ask me to help you?" "Can I? Of course." So he said, "Mary, help me to learn." So he went back to study, and there was a radical change. He was studying, he understood, he finished high school, he decided to become a priest. He became a priest, he became a Dominican, he became a bishop, he became an archbishop, and in that time he became the greatest teacher in the world. He was an expert in biology and chemistry and physics and philosophy and theology and grammar and logic. He was an expert in science and geography. He was a walking library. But he had a student that went beyond him, who even became the greater. And his student is the greatest teacher in the Catholic Church after Jesus Christ. So one was great, and he had a student that was even greater. And by the way, we celebrate his feast day today. And his name is, he's a German. Any Germans here? Okay, his name is... What are we going to say? Okay, his name is, you forgot one thing, Saint, right? Saint Albert the Great. But it was through Mary that he helped him to understand. And then his student was, who was his student?
Saint Thomas.
Saint Thomas Aquinas. So I love that story, and that story I'm going to be preaching in my Mass in Spanish because I really love it. He couldn't seem to understand, but it's through Mary, who's is known as Seat of Wisdom, Our Lady of Good Counsel, Our Lady of Perpetual Help. He was able to understand his studies and become one of the greatest. Amen?
Amen.
So turn to Mary and turn to the Holy Spirit. Okay? Can't go wrong. Right, Eric?
Yeah.
No, I guess.
No, yeah.
Absolutely. There's no guessing here, but it's...
No.
Well, yes, in the affirmative, right?
Yes.
Okay, next. We are on number... How is the Holy Spirit related to the Father and the Son? It's like this. The Father loves the Son, the Son loves the Father, and the mutual love between. The mutual love between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is uncreated love. How about that? The Holy Spirit is the mutual embrace between Father and the Son, the mutual kiss between Father and Son, St. Bernard. Okay? Great saint. Okay, next. How are we related to the Holy Spirit? In the very time of our...
Baptism.
We became temples of the Holy Spirit. We became sons of God, brothers of Jesus, and... Angela? It's on the tip of your tongue, right? Okay, you're about to say. Friends of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what happened on November 2nd? What that day is? November 2nd? Angel? What? All Souls Day. Did any of you go to Mass on All Souls Day?
Yes.
It's a day when you want to be praying for the dead, right? You know, we can say three Masses. On that day, after I said my first Mass, this couple came into me with an emergency. They had a little baby that was very sick. So I went to, you ever been to Long Beach Memorial Hospital? You know where it is? I went there, and I went into what's called the Miller's section. You got the pediatrics for the children. I went in there, it was a little baby, about 2 weeks old, who had, the head was really swollen, and they baptized the baby there, right there in the hospital. And about 4 days afterward, someone told me that the baby died. Is that a sad story or a happy story? It's a tricky question, right? It's a tricky question. It's sad because who likes to see a little baby die? No, none of them. But where is the baby now? Yeah. So see, our Catholic faith is so important. We don't have a Catholic faith, we're going to fall into despair. We will. We're going to fall into despair if we don't have our Catholic faith. Catholic faith, it explains these problems, these tragedies, these contradictions, the Catholic faith. But if not, how could this little baby suffer so much and die after being born 3 weeks? Where is the meaning behind that? Because God wanted to bring the baby to heaven. So it's really not important a long life, but a holy life. Yeah? That baby died without any sin, went right to heaven. Now you can start to pray to that baby because that baby is a saint. Amen? Yeah. Can we lose the Holy Spirit?
No.
No?
No.
Unfortunately, yes. When we commit what is called, what is it called?
Mortal sin.
We commit a mortal sin. Then we lose the presence of the Holy Spirit in our soul as well as the Father and the Son. Dan, did you know the three conditions of mortal sin?
Okay, like
serious matter, right? How about the second condition? Full knowledge, and what about the third?
And it has to be the full will.
Okay, good. Full consent of the will. So those are three conditions. Grave matter, something serious, full knowledge, full consent of the will. Okay, here's an example. Okay, Saturday you went to a party. One of your cousins turned 20 years old, you went to a party, and you went out, and you're out in somewhere in San Bernardino. So you're about an hour and a half away. The party went on to about 1 o'clock in the morning. So you get home, and you're really tired. So Sunday, you get up with your mom and dad, and you get up, hey, you get up at 11:30. You have a brunch at Denny's, no? Have a big brunch, no? You get pile of pancakes, and you got a lot, and you're just going to town, okay? And then after that, you go to there's a picnic, and you're throwing the frisbee, you're playing some softball, a little bit of baseball, some volley, you had a lot of fun. Then one of your friends says, in the cinema, in the movie place, there's a really good movie, and it's at 6 o'clock. So there you go to that. But I haven't gone to Mass yet. And you know that there's a Mass at St. Peter Schnell at 7 p.m., okay? There you are at 6 o'clock. Already 7 o'clock. And all during the movie, the only thing you're thinking about, I should be in church. 7 o'clock, 7:30. Get up, you get some popcorn, you're stuffing your face with popcorn. And it's already 8 o'clock in the movie. Is over at 8:30, there's no more Mass. You miss Mass because you went to the movies. You committed a mortal sin. Yeah. Because is Mass important?
Yes.
Do you know it? And then you purposely decided to do something that wasn't bad to see a good movie, but you should not have been in the movie theater. You should have been in church. That's a mortal sin. Mortal sin, which means you lose the grace of God, you lose the Holy Spirit. What should you do?
Go to confession.
What?
Go to confession.
Go to confession, maybe a month later?
No.
As soon as possible. Let me give you a good image to understand this. Don't play Russian roulette with your salvation. I repeat, don't play Russian roulette with your salvation. What is Russian roulette? Never heard of Russian roulette?
No.
Surprised, never heard of it. Daniel, what's Russian roulette?
Like a gambling game that you just about always lose in?
No, it's not exactly. Russian roulette, you know what it is? Right, okay. So the gun has a barrel, and you put the cartridge in there. There may be room for 7 different cartridges. You put one in, you're spinning it, and you shoot. You're spinning it, shoot. Spinning, you shoot. You don't know when you're going to shoot the bullet. Obviously, you should never do that, of course, right? But don't do that with your salvation. Because you miss Mass. How do you know you're going to live another week? Father, stop scaring us. You sound very apocalyptic and eerie. Well, whether I'm scaring you or not is the truth, because we don't know that a little baby died. We don't know when we're going to die. So I say this is spiritual Russian roulette. Don't play around with the salvation of your soul. You don't do that. So you should try to have recourse to confession as soon as possible. You hear me? Okay, I'm going to explain to you right now something that could be of vital importance later on in your life. Are you listening? This could accrue to the salvation of your soul, maybe when you're 70 years old, maybe you're dying, or 80, who knows. Okay, right now, in 2019, in this church, you see coming and going a lot of priests. 5 priests that live here, a lot of visitors. We got a couple, 2 visitors now that are here for the weekend. Another one's here for a whole week. Like, priests are coming and going. But in 20 years, I hope it's not true, you might not see that many priests. I hope, prove me wrong. I hope that all the boys here become priests. I hope and I pray. No? But there's a shortage of priests. What would happen if you can't find a priest? Because that could happen. For example, if you go where my mom lives in New Hampshire, you might have to drive 50 miles to find a priest. If you've only lived in California, you don't know the rest of the country. You go to the other part of the other part, like a New England is very different from California. New England, no? Very different. And there's like a state called New Hampshire, in between one parish and the other, it'd be 50 miles. And they may have just one elderly priest that's not even available because he's in the hospital. I know that because my mother lives there. Yeah. It's difficult to find a priest. Okay, here's the question. Can you be restored to grace even before you meet the priest? Carla, what do you think? Angel? You got it. You know what that's called? Yeah, you got it. It's called this, making a perfect act of contrition. You know what that is? Okay, say for example you did that. You missed Mass on purpose. You can't get a priest because it's already 9 o'clock at night. Okay, before you go to bed, if possible, you look up at the cross. You don't have to have a cross, but a cross helps. Or maybe an image of the Sacred Heart. Or an image of Divine Mercy. And you're looking at that. And you're keenly aware of the fact that you committed that mortal. You didn't go to Mass on Sunday, and you know you did wrong. All during the time of the movie, you know you should have called your mom. Mom, take me to Mass. I didn't go. You didn't do anything whatsoever. You're looking at the cross, and you see Jesus hanging from the cross. And you see the blood coming out of his wounds. You see his open heart pierced with a lance. And you look at that and you recognize that because of your sins, you're responsible for Jesus dying on the cross. And that moves you to tears. And then you say, Jesus, I'm really sorry for missing Mass on Sunday. My fault. I'm really sorry. Lord, I really love you. I'm really sorry. And, Lord, I'm never going to do that again. And you get up and you kiss his wounds. If you do that sincerely, you're back in the state of grace. Yeah. That's the only thing you learn in this class, this whole year, that would even be enough. If you just understood that one idea. 99.9% Catholics have never heard this before. But I believe that's huge. Right? Because you might not be able to find a priest. But you have to be moved by grace. In which you're looking at Jesus, even if you don't know the cross, you can close your eyes and imagine Jesus. And you're moved by sorrow and love. This is called perfect contrition. You're back in friendship with Jesus again. Then you have to go to confession as soon as you can. You understand that? Tell your parents that tonight, because your parents don't know that either. Tell them. They don't know, unless they've been with me. Your parents come to some of my classes. I love the priests because this is a key that can get us to heaven. So during this class, I'm trying to give you a lot of keys that you can use to get to heaven. Don't throw the keys away. Don't throw them away. Use them. Now, try to avoid sin. Okay, you're sorry, and you're going to try not to miss Mass again. Avoid sin. But tell the Lord you're sorry, and tell the Lord that you love Him. That's the essence of Catholicism, in loving Christ, right? The essence is love, loving Christ. And every time you're tempted to commit a sin, when you say no to sin, you're saying yes to the love of God. See it that way. You're tempted to commit a sin, whatever it might be, no, because I love Jesus Christ. I don't want to hurt my best friend. That's where we're heading in this class, right? I don't want to sin, not simply because of the chastisement, but I love Christ, and I want Him to be my best friend in time and all eternity. Amen? Yeah. You understand? Key idea. It's called, Angel basically said it, you know, making a perfect act of contrition. I don't want to sin again. You're restored to the grace of God. And then go to confession. Got that, Eric?
Yeah.
Three partner. Okay, next. So, of course, and as soon as possible, but making, this is seven, right? Making a perfect act of contrition, which I just explained. Perfect act of contrition. The friendship of the Holy Spirit is restored. However, I should try to go to? What? You said. Confession as soon as possible. None of this spiritual Russian roulette. You're going to wait until next year, no? When Santa Claus comes, no. Santa Claus. Number eight. How about some other names for the Holy Spirit? Good question. We will give a few, and you can find others in the Litany of the Holy Spirit. Beautiful prayer. As well as the prayer called the Sequence that we pray on Pentecost Sunday. Here they are. How's your vocabulary? Pretty good? What does sanctifier mean? I'll give you a class in English, okay? Sanctify me, He makes us holy. Okay? How about consoler? He comforts us when we're sad, right? How about counselor?
He gives us advice.
Gives us advice. Good. Okay, finger of God, the Holy Spirit wants to paint within your soul the image of Jesus Christ, like a paintbrush. Jesus Christ. Finger of God. How about paraclete? It means He intercedes for us, kind of like a judge that's trying to get you off maybe a crime that you haven't done. Okay? Really what it means, abogado, like lawyer. That's what it means. Gift of gifts. What does CCC, what does those three letters mean? CCC. See you later. Yes.
Catechism of the Catholic Church.
Great. So CCC is the Catechism of the Catholic Church. That's the abbreviation. Well done. Okay. Sweet guest of the soul. Write that in there. Sweet guest of the soul. Love of God. Third person of the Trinity. And last but not least, the Holy Spirit is the interior master. The interior master. He's our interior teacher. I'm saying you want to do well in your school. Make sure pray the Holy Spirit gives you light to understand. He's going to be your teacher, the best of teachers. Do any of you know the first two women doctors of the church?
Catherine of Siena and Teresa Lisieux.
No, Catherine of Siena and Teresa of Avila. Okay. And then later on, Teresa of Lisieux made a doctor of the church during the time of John Paul II. You know, the extraordinary thing is that, did you know that Catherine of Siena, most of her life was illiterate? She still became a doctor of the church. Catherine of Siena, she was one of 25 children. Can you remember sitting at the table, 25 siblings?
Man, seven is enough.
Imagine that. 25 kids, how about that? She had the stigmata, you know, the wounds of Christ invisible. Catherine of Siena. But who is her teacher? The Holy Spirit. Pretty good teacher, huh? Okay, so let's give some of the symbols. Symbols, a mere comparison to shed further light on the person and presence of the Holy Spirit. Here are some of the most common found in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Okay, the first is the dove. Not the boy, but the dove, right? Next would be fire. And the whole, remember Pentecost? No, fire. Another one would be wind. Another one would be cloud, like in the Transfiguration. And finally, a gentle breeze. Gentle breeze is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Those are symbols of the Holy Spirit. Now, here we go. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. You all know the gifts of the Holy Spirit by heart, right? You can give a good Thomistic short definition of all of them, right? And apply them to the Beatitudes as well as the other theological virtues, right? You know the gifts?
Yes.
Okay, let's see if we can name the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You're preparing for confirmation. You should know the gifts. Yes. You know the gifts? Okay, good. Let's see. What are they? Okay, write it down there. Wisdom, because you got seven altogether. It's a big... What? That's pretty... Wisdom, then next would be? Okay, wisdom, knowledge, then after knowledge. Understanding, there you have three. Those all perfect the intellect, according to Thomas Aquinas. Right, Lauren? Yes, Father. Okay. So those perfect the intellect. And then the next one connects the intellect to the will. So it's like a bridge one. It begins with a C. Counsel. The art of decision-making, according to Thomas Aquinas. The art of decision-making, which perfects the moral virtue of prudence. Okay. And then the other three perfect the will, our heart, to be able to act properly. And they would be, okay. Oh, you forgot those, okay. Fortitude, interior strength. Fortitude helps you to be patient, okay. Fortitude, then what? Piety. What that means, we recognize that God is our Father. God is our Father. All of us are brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter if you're Mexican or Vietnamese, you're an American, or you're from Guatemala. We're all sons and daughters of the same Father. So what goes against piety would be racism. Looking down on someone because that person is Mexican or Italian, or it's called racism. Looking down upon someone because of his race, no? That's the opposite. Piety means we're all brothers and sisters because God is our Father. Jesus is our brother. We're all in the same family, heading toward the same goal, which is heaven. Amen? And the last one, you got several words. Begins with a NF. Fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord. And it's related to humility because we all recognize we're all weak. We can all fall very easily. We have to, it should not be self-reliance, but God-reliance, right? Not to rely upon ourselves, but to rely upon God. He's our rock. He's our fortress. He's our strength. Okay? He's our bastion. Okay? You ready? So those are the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. You got them memorized? Okay, we got the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. By the way, do you know when we receive the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit? Nope. Baptism. You got it. In baptism, you actually receive the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Confirmation fortifies that. But in the moment of baptism, you got the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Well, how about the fruits? So if you allow the gifts to work in you, then the fruits are going to blossom. Okay? So live the gifts, then you experience the fruits. And the fruits are an interior sweetness in your soul. Got that? An interior sweetness in your soul. And they are several. We're just going to put a couple. The first is peace, joy, chastity, meekness, self-control. You're not a corajudo, okay? Self-control. Patience. Long-suffering. When we're open to the presence of gifts of the Holy Spirit, then we experience this wonderful sweetness in our souls. These are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. They are for your taking. Peace. Joy. Beautiful. Okay, now, what is a special feast day? I think you mentioned Daniel, right? Or solemnity in which we honor the Holy Spirit, and the response is?
Pentecost.
Pentecost Sunday.
Yeah.
I didn't put this into the worksheet, but do you know what color, you know, altar sir, what color does the priest wear on Pentecost Sunday?
Red.
Why red?
Because it's like
symbolized on fire. Perfect, yeah, great. Usually red is the color of blood, the martyrs, right? But for Pentecost, it's because of the fire that descended upon the apostles. Red. What happened on that first Pentecost? After the apostles prayed, fasted with the Blessed Virgin Mary for...
Nine days.
Okay, for 9 days, okay. I wanted to give you a little hint, okay. For 9 days, a powerful novena, then the Holy Spirit manifested His presence through a powerful wind and tongues of the fire that settled over their heads. Okay, was there a change in the apostles? Yes, most definitely. They were able to... Were able to speak different languages? Did they go to a crash course in language skills? No? Or they went to Mexico to speak to learn the Spanish? Or we went to Vietnam to pick up the Vietnamese, huh? No, it was an infused gift like that. Just like that they were given the gift. Go to another country, able to speak the language. Huge gift, huh? Usually it takes a while to to speak a language, no? Look at your parents kind of struggling to speak English, right? Takes a long time, right? So I would tell the parents, I said, when you go to your children to the store, your daughter says, Mommy, no hablo, pues hablo muy bien, hablo muy mal inglés, me pone vergüenza, mami. They learn like that, huh? Were they courageous or were they cowards?
Courageous.
Very courageous, huh? Did they begin to preach and heal with trust and strength?
Yes.
Do you remember after the descent of the Holy Spirit, Peter got up, did he preach?
Yes.
How many converts?
3,000.
Yeah. Imagine that, 3,000 converts in one homily, man. I wish I could convert too. 3,000 converts in one homily, and then he preaches another and he got 5,000. Two homilies and you got 8,000 converts. What do you think about that, Eric?
That's
huge, isnn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My son,
Billy. And then they were persecuted and even martyred for Jesus. All the apostles except Saint John the Beloved, the disciple. Can you tell me how one of the apostles died as a martyr? Peter crucified upside down.
James was beheaded.
Another one.
Saint Andrew was crucified, but like diagonally.
Yeah, in the form of an X, and he was crucified with ropes, and he was on the cross for about 3 days.
Saint Paul,
how did he die? He was decapitated. Yeah.
I can't remember his name, but one of them was skinned alive.
Yeah. I always like to mention that usually his name was Saint Bartholomew. They flayed him, which means they skinned him alive, and then they decapitated after that. Now you kind of go like this. I don't want to say it's kind of gross because it's really for me it's admirable. Would you like to die choking on a hamburger? I know, I'd prefer to die as a martyr. No, maybe you prefer to die choking on a hamburger or a taco or a tortilla, you know? Ugh. You are dead, no? I think it's better to die, to go out in glory, huh?
Yeah.
Like Jose Luis Sancho del Rio, that we put the statue there on Sunday, right? Que Viva Cristo Rey, they skinned his feet and they hit him with machetes, and then they actually shot him, and the last gesture was to make a sign of the cross with his own blood. He was 14 years old. He's about a year older than you guys, no? Imagine he's about 14 years old. He dies with so much courage, no? See, and now he's in heaven. So they were given courage through the Holy Spirit. Now, let's go back to our biblical knowledge. We've got some Bible scholars here, right? At least in the making, huh? Okay, where can we find the Holy Spirit in the Bible? In many places, but especially in the book in the Bible. Angel? Perfect. The Acts of the Apostles, okay? The Acts of the Apostles. Any know where that is in the Bible, where his position is? Yes?
Comes right after the Gospels.
Right, okay, so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then the Acts of the Apostles. And even know who the author was?
St. Luke.
St. Luke, good. Okay, known by many as the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. Okay, Mary and the Holy Spirit. You know what? I think maybe I'll give that out next week, okay? Okay, Mary and the Holy Spirit. How is Mary related to the Holy Spirit? In the mission of the Trinity, Mary is the? She's the daughter of God the Father. So she's the daughter of God the Father. And Mary is the? What?
Mother
of God the Son. And Mary is the? Mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. St. Louis de Montfort says, those who love Mary, the Holy Spirit flings himself into their souls. Let's read the last paragraph together, okay? Together, in conclusion, life, we all need to have friends to be with us, talk to listen to, and to comfort us in times of loneliness. The Holy Spirit that lives in the soul and grace is always ready and willing to listen to us, to encourage us, to support us on our highway to heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour. Act of consecration to Mary, you have that? That's yours. Together. Mary, my Queen and my Mother, give myself entirely to you, and to show my devotion to you. Consecrate you this day, my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, my whole being without reserve. Wherefore, good Mother, so I am your own, keep me and guard me as your proper possession. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit. May God bless you. See you Mass on Sunday.
Thank you.
You're welcome.